For marketing purposes, they call it Summer 2. It's GRDS Weekly.
Summer 2 Electric Boogaloo.
That's what I, yeah. Why not? Everyone said it in their head, which is what made that the greatest thing ever. Hi.
Nice.
Welcome to GRDS Weekly episode
236.
You just looked it up. That's awesome. And that frozen deer in the headlights.
And
look.
I went, crap. So cool. I know this one.
Hi there. We're the folks from geekradiodaily.com. You know us. You love us. You sometimes follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and of course those forums at geekradiodaily.com that you should really email me about. But we'll talk about that later. Gathered around to talk about things today. Well, we are all here. The lady with magic powers. It's the Flintstress.
If she doesn't like you, she can make you disappear.
Oh, okay. It's a little creepy. The guy who almost has his special powers, that there is Saucy.
He can almost do a 180 on his razor scooter.
You just keep trying, my brother. Hi.
That was the most interesting man.
I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
I'm smoking with you, bro. We'll go to the loony bin together.
Ooh, we'll get a little crazy. So, hey there. What you been doing, geeky? Wait. Yo.
Well, we did watch some TV.
A little bit.
Just a little. It's hard, you know, schedules.
Just a little bit.
Meshing and stuff like that. But I will start with Gotham. So nice. We watched the pilot season premiere of Gotham, the first episode. And, I mean, I think it definitely was what it was supposed to be based on the trailer and the previews. We got a prequel to see, you know, Bruce Wayne's parents get killed, you know.
Right.
Not a spoiler, but you know what I mean. And like, you know, the evolution of some of these earlier characters. It's definitely going to be, you know, Jim Gordon's show. I think the actor that they have playing him is doing a really good job. Yeah. So
it needs to be equally Jim Gordon and the Penguin show. Because the Penguin is set to be the most interesting character in this whole thing.
He was chewing up scenery left and right. I mean, you know.
My favorite character.
And he's only going to get better at it. I mean, you know, It has a problem that automatically just by being a prequel, because prequels are very hard to do, because getting to where you need to be.
You know where you're
going to
end, right.
Yeah, you know that there's a lot of chances where drama, you know, once we see Jim Gordon in a situation facing death, or Selina Kyle, or the Penguin, they're all going to be fine.
Right. Well, Bruce Wayne, maybe not.
Bruce Wayne is the one person that you can get rid of in this show and not miss a beat.
Donald Logue is doing a good job.
Yeah, Donald Logue. Good to see him back, you know, back doing some work. Love me some Donald Logue. Been a big fan ever since Sneakers. That's old school for Geek Label Commentary number one. Ooh,
wow.
Crazy.
Yeah.
But so all in all, you had a good time with it?
Yeah, great time.
Oh, we're definitely watching this. We're definitely going to watch this for
certainly.
Sure.
So, though, did we need to try to throw that many future villains in? I didn't need Ivy, especially since they got her name wrong.
Right.
I did not need Ivy in that opening little episode. It's bothering her. You can't bother her when we're doing the show, Spencer. She will leap across this table
and make
kill
you disappear. Spencer's twirling a pencil in the air. He's twirling a freaking pencil in the air.
Yeah, somebody had to do it.
Was it making any noise?
It doesn't matter. It was making motion. So here's the question for both of you. Was that the Joker in the comedy club? And I'm sorry, the worst character name of television ever, Fish Moody's.
Yeah, right. If you're going to invent a completely new character that is not canon and not for the universe, why?
Because a guy in a suit went, you know what sounds like a comic book name? Fish. I used to watch that show, Abe Vigoda, Barney Miller, Fish. Fish Moody. And make it a chick. That'll really freak him out.
And an Asian chick at that.
Jada Pinkett Smith?
She's just black.
Is she?
Yeah, I don't think
vaguely
so.
Asian features? Is that what you're going for there? Vaguely.
She had kind of an anime haircut, I guess, you know.
And the dress.
Hustle.
And the
I don't
dress.
Think she did that. I don't think she did. But do you
everyone's a little bit racist.
There was an immediate backlash from the geek community about, oh, that was the Joker right there. He was the Joker. They're taking that directly from the Killing Joke, where he was supposed to be a stand-up comedian, blah, 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 blah. Okay, chill. We don't know that's the Joker. We don't want to know that that's the Joker, which is everyone's big problem, because no one wants to know who the Joker is. The Joker's had so many fake origins.
Right.
I think that we're going to continue to see characters who could possibly be the Joker in like almost every episode.
I like that. And I would actually approve of that. I felt like that it was a little heavy-handed with like, here's every villain we could possibly toss into the pilot episode.
Did you notice that the dancers in her club kind of look like Harley?
Well, they had that black and red theme. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, sure. Whatever. But no, it was a fun time.
Yeah,
I'll
they were just
kind of
standing around. They weren't rehearsing or anything. They were just kind of there. So it could be interesting.
TV dancers stand there. Movie strippers, if they're stars, don't take their clothes off. It's just the way
it's
done. It's
one of those things that people do.
Done.
So definitely some good violence. Some darkness. So it'll be interesting
darkness.
To see.
I did not see Charlie Murphy anywhere.
No, I did not see Charlie Murphy.
Okay.
And then following Gotham, Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah.
Sleepy Hollow has gotten a budget upgrade.
Yes, it did.
A little bit.
So they're people watch this show. We should give them some money and let them have some CGI effects. And
so for as much as that kind of bothered me right there, because it's like, oh, yeah, you got money now. I have to say, a tip of the hat to you guys for starting your episode and having me sitting there going, wait, is this the right episode? Because that's not where we were when we left off. Okay.
That took me a while. That was good.
I was sitting
like,
there.
What's going on?
And I was like, okay, so is this later and we're going to flash back to where we were? And I'm like, no, we're just doing, what? He's captured. What? Oh, okay. In fairness to me, it was Fox, so the episodes could have been out of order.
That is true. So, that is true.
Entirely possible.
And I liked, I don't know that I need to see the Headless Horseman's head. Like, I understand that he's a character that had some history with Ichabod and Katrina or whatever. Sure. But yeah, I don't know. There's just,
what if
it's supposed to be the Headless Horseman?
What if it was Christopher Walken's head?
That could be all right.
Okay, then.
That could be all right.
Good stuff.
So it'll be interesting to see where they go with this series. It's either going to just be the same old, kind of, we're building towards this apocalypse thing. The main lead actress is not that great of an actress. There's just times where she's kind of like, ugh. I can't even put my finger on it, but there's times where she's just so acting. Right? Okay. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but.
I don't know.
I don't have any issues.
I guess I didn't really notice. That or I've gotten so used to it that it doesn't really register
anymore.
Yeah.
Other new episodes, we saw South Park.
Yes.
And this was the one about Kickstarter and the Washington Redskins. Yeah.
Don't you see how it's offensive to us that you're using the name? But it's because of your proud heritage and history that we chose the name of the Washington Redskins. I don't care what side of the argument you fall on about the name. That's some damn funny stuff right there in South Park.
Well, and the funniest part to me is I imagine Matt and Trey sitting around when they pull the trademark, right? And go, right. We can just put it on everything and there's no holds bar. We're not going to get sued. We could just totally go after this issue and do it however we want. And their modified logos.
The modified logos were comedy gold.
Yeah. Mm.
So I don't want to hear about it from a whole lot of people, but at the same, because I'm a Redskins fan and have been since birth.
Certainly.
But at the same time, I know it's just.
But Dan Snyder.
It was a funny episode.
Dan Snyder walking around seeing people now recognize the Redskins as the startup and not the football team and then turning to the camera with the one tear.
Right. That was funny.
Exactly.
That part was funny. I was like, all right. Okay,
welcome back,
South Park. That part was funny.
Welcome back.
Yeah. And Kickstarter. Yeah, it's just
kind of everywhere
and nowhere and just nothing. So whatever. And then we watched Key and Peele.
Yes.
Which has been a favorite of ours for a long
time.
Since
it happened.
Really great. And I don't know if this is a trend for this season or if it was just his first episode, but they didn't have any audience interaction.
They did not.
I think it is going to be the
because
way the season
did
is.
You notice that in the preview for next week, you saw the thing with the guys driving in the car again? I think the guys driving in the car on their little cross country trip is going to take the place of your.
Huh. Well, that was the least funny part of the episode.
It was the least funny part of the episode.
Not that there weren't some pretty funny parts of that
crazy.
Episode.
Crazy funny.
The racists, rednecks.
The racist
rednecks
is just
was pretty hilarious. And then
I didn't think it was that funny.
I don't think you realized what they were doing until maybe near the end of it. I think it was kind of going over your head there a little bit. What
no,
was happening?
No, I got it.
Oh, okay.
I got all it. Right.
Didn't work for it?
Not all rednecks are racist. Terrible.
Exactly. And
that's
they
not
weren't.
What they were trying to,
and they
that's
weren't,
not what they were trying
Spencer.
To say. The one where they were, it was like the apocalypse and who were the aliens and who were not the aliens based on racism. That was pretty funny too. The whole thing was just great.
I missed the theme song because they didn't do the theme song the same way. And I missed the audience stuff because they would,
they would kind of riff and play off of each
other. And you'd get a good vibe from the audience. I don't know.
Yeah. But I mean, they're just hilarious.
Indeed.
That was a funny show. And the one where he's like the female pop star, the over-sexualization, it's just brilliant. Just comedy gold, Key and Peele.
But I got pregnant. That's right. You're empowered. I love it.
Craziness. Spencer and I watched The Godfather, the first Godfather movie, and we've gotten halfway through the second one. Maybe we'll watch the second half tonight. I don't know. We'll see.
Maybe.
But it's a long.
How can you get? Whoa. How can you stop during Godfather 2?
Well, it's two. It's a two disc set that we have. So we
are you sure you're not watching the thing that's like the spliced together version of Godfather and Godfather 2 in chronological order? Because I think that's on that set too.
No, we watched a whole separate movie, the first Godfather.
And it said turn to disc 2.
And then we put in one that, and it was the start. It was The Godfather Part 2.
Okay.
It's just a DVD set that's split over two discs.
Okay.
Yeah, it surprised me.
That doesn't make sense in any capacity that I'm aware of.
Okay. Well, I don't know. But whatever it was, we watched it and we enjoyed it. And it's just, it had been a while. I mean, like, it's so pervasive in our history, you know, make him an offer he can't refuse. And some of the other things that you know are like, you know, the horse's head and some of those things that you know are coming. Like, every time Apollonia gets in the car, I'm like, no, don't do it. So, but it's just, and then you the progression of that character. I think, like, if you ever, I mean, Al Pacino, just from the beginning of the first Godfather movie and the way that he just totally becomes Don Corleone. I mean, it's just, it's amazing. I don't have to just, it's like I'm preaching to the choir. Everybody knows The Godfather is a great movie, but everybody, it's been very enjoyable.
Everybody but Peter Griffin.
Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes.
Yeah. Awesome.
I thought you said Troy McClure was dead. No, boss. I said he sleeps with the fishes.
So it's just, you know, every kind of Italian trope.
Sure.
And the thing that you have going on, but it was just super fun.
Cool.
And then we're getting closer to baby time. Got about 2 weeks left on baby time.
Indeed.
And we've been getting some good geeky stuff.
We've
got
baby time.
So we've got a onesie that says Stormageddon, Dark Lord of All. We've got a Green Lantern onesie.
Yep.
We've got one that says Supergirl. We've got I Boldly Went.
Right.
You know, Star Trek. So we're pretty much covered.
Roller derby ones.
Yeah, we have a couple of roller derby ones. We have some roller derby knit booties. I think we don't have any Star Wars, but that might be it. I think we're pretty much covered on all of our geeky bases. There's still time.
There's no Firefly.
Yeah, and there's no Firefly either. So, but we're getting there.
Somebody is very quickly knitting a Jane hat
for the baby right now.
Right.
So, yeah, so we're you know, looking forward to that and getting a bunch of geeky stuff.
Now, why did you bring up stuff that you got?
Because we had another baby shower.
There you go. We didn't say that part. Because, you know, I need you to say that part. So afterwards, when you took a nap and I went to Best Buy, I randomly ran into Dr. John Smar.
Which is so funny.
Walking through Best Buy. Because I forgot that.
I forget how many people that we know that kind of live in the Maryland, Virginia area, right?
Exactly. So, you know, walking through video games and boom, it's like, oh, what the hell are you doing? What are you doing here? Oh, my God.
How do you live in the same town as my parents?
Is there a convention going on? What's happening?
I know. It was crazy. So, yeah, but it was a good time. And we actually, I normally don't like to play like games, you know, like some of those like smell the diaper or like all those silly games.
Yep.
But we did like a Price is Right style game where all of the items were less than $5 and you had to try to guess the prices, and whoever got the closest without going over, like the Price is Right, wins. Well, my mom plays the game and she just goes $3.99 for all of them,
all the items,
and wins it
because it's the overall price of everything. It was the bottom line price, whoever got the closest.
And she was within like 20 cents of the price.
Just by going
I bet she knew that.
No,
she's just like, because like some of them were $4.49, and you had like a random $1.79. It just
happened to work out that way. It was ridiculous. So
it was a little crazy.
That was pretty funny. One of my friends, and I don't think Anne was pissed, but she was just kind of like, I actually thought about it.
She did.
Yeah.
She said something like that in there.
She did.
She's like, I was just gonna put like, was it like $4.50 for everything or something? She said that, but.
Mm-hmm.
But even if she had done that, the figure she put would have put her over. She would have lost regardless.
She would have lost anyway. So, you know.
Deal with it.
Yeah.
Deal
so,
with it.
And then that same evening, we got together with our friends, Jill and Johnny, and we watched Doctor Who.
So we've all seen Doctor Who then.
Yay.
Yeah, good job. Sure.
And I definitely think that even though we're behind on TV, we need to institute a policy of watching Doctor Who more than once. So we watched it with Jill and Johnny, and then, well, we actually watched the recap first. We watched the time heist, which was great. Watching it a second time, I get more out of it. Everybody knows that. You read a book a second time, you see something another time, you get more out of it. Like, time heist, after knowing how it ends, and then going back and watching it, you're like, oh. So, and in the one that we just watched.
The Caretaker.
I didn't notice the first time when Clara chastises the kids for playing soccer, football, on the chessboard that the doctor whistles the tune from Brick in the Wall. Like, we don't need no education. And I just start cracking up, but I totally did not catch that the first time.
I was still too busy trying to figure out why there was an oversized chess set outside on the, you know, where they're going to be playing soccer/football.
Well, it's an activity.
How is over? I don't. Have you seen this at a school? I've never seen this at a school.
The pieces were as big as the children.
The last time I've seen an oversized chess set thing was in History of the World Part 1 when they're playing with, like, you know, actual people size.
And Harry Potter. Yeah.
Chamber
so maybe it's like a British schoolyard thing. Who knows?
I don't know.
But you could play and you could move the pieces around and be physically active and mentally active at the same time.
I guess that's what they're going for. So yeah.
What do you think of Doctor Who?
I love episodes like this. I love where he's trying to be the normal person because it never works, and that's funny. I love his frustration with people when he's just trying to do what he tries to do all the time. And this one was just chock full with so many other shout outs to other episodes. Of course I loved it.
Yeah. And, you know, you watch it again and you look at it. If Clara had just gone about her business and stayed out of his way, it wouldn't have made him look as suspicious to Mr. Pink, to Danny Pink.
Right.
And it probably just would have worked according
well,
to
plan. Well, she would have went out and canoodled and that wouldn't have happened. He would have sent him back the first time.
Right.
So that's all the good stuff. So you ready? You ready to get crazy? The doctor did meet Jane Austen, but it was in an audio adventure, so maybe it doesn't count. Uh-huh. But it was an audio adventure with William Hartnell's doctor. So the first doctor.
They were BFFs and they ran across some Bogans?
Something like that. One of my favorite moments is when he's looking for the creature, when he's looking and he's walking around and you go pat what looks almost like the old junkyard thing.
Uh-huh.
And he says, home sweet home walking in. Now, I don't know if he means that because that's where the monster's hiding or if that is supposed to be the built-up version of where the TARDIS first was in The Unearthly Child when we first saw the
Which
doctor
was right down the road from
in
the
1963.
Because
you know
Cole
we've been to this school several times,
yeah.
Salsa. You know this, right? You know the school was in the very first Doctor episode ever. It was in the very first episode ever. All the activity that's happened there because in Unearthly Child, you had Sylvester McCoy come back and remember to the Daleks. So Daleks were roaming around near
the one with
school.
The pterodactyl-like thingies.
That was this school too?
Yeah.
Really? I don't think that was
maybe
this
not.
School.
I don't know. It was
check.
A school.
It was a school, and that's the one thing. The doctor cannot believe that a soldier would be a math teacher. And he can't believe that because of how much he couldn't believe that when the Brigadier retired, he became a math professor. So this has happened before. That's why he can't wrap his brain around it. I was just giggling my fool self. Doctor tells Claire at one point that she reminds him of another teacher. And is that Barbara? Got to be Barbara.
Yeah.
Got to be our original one. Got to be. The Seventh Doctor in his Remembrance of the Daleks episode while at Coal Hill School applied for the job of caretaker, which is kind of a little bit funny to me. I did like that. And we now know how much time has passed because it's been about a year. Courtney's mom said that she talked, about last year about how her kid was like, you said very disruptive. Now it's just disruptive. That's an improvement. So if Danny's been around, I think we can kind of assume it's been in Clara's time frame more than a year now since the doctor has regenerated. So that's just my... You can don't sit there look all pensive.
No.
Shout out that you agree or disagree, damn it. Don't just think about it silently.
And never thought of it that way.
I wondered about that when they said that line. I was thinking, okay, that's either a mistake or, yeah, more time has passed than we think. I mean, we had a montage of them dating.
Even Rocky
montages
had a montage.
Sometimes make it feel like not that much time has passed. It's hard. You know, not all montages are created equal. I mean, those amount of dates could have been. I mean, she said they were serious dates, and then she drops the L bomb.
Oh,
know?
Yeah. Whoop.
So
where'd that come from? Whoop.
But so it has, you know, it has definitely been some time.
Cool.
So, but I like that. I like the thought of that in your, you know, your announced, because at first I was like, wait a minute. He wasn't there last year. He's new this year, you know.
But, well, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, been a little bit longer than we thought. Been more times going on than we thought. And are we going to need to get you a tranquilizer for next week, Saucy?
A tranquilizer for, oh,
it's coming spiders. Attractions.
Robot spiders.
I am so excited about robot spiders because it's not the first time we've seen them in the Doctor Who universe.
Well,
provided
good.
They're the same ones.
But and, it's know, okay.
Yeah?
I saw a Skittles commercial earlier that might change my life.
Okay.
Skittles in the middle of a spider web. Guy trapped in them trying to get to the Skittles.
Right.
There's another guy, like, well, maybe I should help you. A spider comes up behind him with a mustache and a top hat. I was like, maybe you should go help him.
Then how is this going to change your life? You're going to stay away from Skittles
was
and webs?
I hysterical.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, good.
Oh, my Sometimes God, spiders can grow
so
mustaches.
As long as they have a top hat. Then
and,
not,
and a mustache.
Maybe a monocle and a...
He might have had a monocle.
Might have had a monocle.
It fits.
So wait. Yeah. So he was pretending
Mr.
to be
Peanut.
Mr. Peanut.
Yes.
Okay.
Awesome.
Sure.
So, and I also liked that he took the student, Courtney, into space.
Sure.
You know, afterwards. Because, and but he wasn't heavy-handed about it. The show, kids watch the show, or at least younger teenagers or whatever
Everyone
watch the show. That's what I'm saying. But so, the show could have been heavy-handed about it. Like, stay curious, kids, or, you know, always ask questions. And, you know, he wanted her to kind of go away, but at the same time, he was also like, kind of jazzed, I think, the fact that she was like, what is going on? And was going to kind of stick with it.
Might have an opening.
So I wish that she had handled it a little bit better. But
well, you know, some people, she's going to it's going to mess with some people. The reality of the enormity can just like get inside your head and apparently make you throw up.
It would be an opening for the next companion.
Sure, but like a school kid? What is he, a superhero now, taking around children? Oh, wait, never mind.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Time
so
travel.
Do you think that the doctor is going to let Danny come with?
I think he's going to have to. He's
going
to have to.
I hope not.
Well, he's going to have to. He's going to have to set this up because you're going to need something to happen along the way for, you know, him and Claire to realize that, okay, we're done. So you can bring in the new companions who are probably going to show up in another... I thought she was going to be gone by now. I really did. I thought they were going to, like, you know, slide her out in the first couple, but, you know.
I heard a Christmas special.
That makes sense. Everything happens in the Christmas special.
I mean, and what I don't want it to be is him giving her an ultimatum. Him going, it's either me or the doctor, pick, you know, is it real life or is it adventure life? And I hope that's, but this whole thing about could the doctor push you too far or make you into a different person from yourself? There's definitely some interesting kind of meta thought stuff going on.
Sure.
So, I mean, maybe there's danger. Maybe he comes along to kind of save her and he realizes that even though the doctor can be trusted and the doctor has the best of intentions, that maybe his companions don't always necessarily survive. So,
not always.
Yeah.
There's been a time or two. There's been bad things that have happened to companions.
I missed you, Astrid.
Almost all? What are you talking about? Maybe in the new series, sure. Yeah. But, you know, getting dropped off, you know, on the wrong continent when he's taking you back home used to be the biggest thing, you know, unless, of course, dinosaurs were involved.
Yeah.
True enough.
So, I mean, I'm definitely still loving this. I know that results are still mixed on the, you know, do we like Peter Capaldi as far as just the geek universe?
There's a whole thing about, oh, it's such a different show now. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I disagree with you. If you think it's a different show now, then you weren't paying attention to the show before.
No, I could see, especially Matt Smith doing, like, if they had just written these episodes and just switched, you know.
Oh, yeah, Matt Smith could totally have been the
caretaker. He would have totally done. Yeah. He would have been totally fine.
Definitely. Tennant could have done that, yeah. Eccleston would have done it, too. Eccleston would have really sold it. Oh, gee, I'm just trying to do my job, you damn
right?
People.
Leave me alone. And the guy that the doctor thinks is Clara's boyfriend, sort of, right?
Right.
Has, like, the floppy hair, has the bow tie.
Yes, I see.
Yeah. It's not just Matt Smith, but it kind of had Pertwee elements, too.
It was funny, yeah.
It was sort of like, oh, well, if you're, you know. So Clara obviously does not have romantic feelings for the doctor.
Right.
Are they trying to say that the doctor has romantic feelings for Clara? Like, jealousy for Danny or no?
No.
You don't think so?
No, I think that's the result of, you know, this new wave of Who, where all the companions kept falling in love with the doctor. I think it's just of course it's me that you're that it's a guy that's like me that I think it's
right.
What that is.
So he just kind of assumed, you know.
Indeed.
Well, because she used to say, "No, I'm not going with you in your snog box," and they had quite
Indeed.
A bit of like a little flirtation going on, but
to a degree,
I don't know. He didn't, and I was saying he didn't have that same level of "I'm not sure I like you" with Rory. It was like he almost right away liked Rory, but I don't know if it was because him and Rory and Amy had much more of a history, and this pink guy is just kind of a new upshot, you
this
know
pink but... guy. Well, I guess we'll have to wait and see next week with you know, metalized robot spiders coming to suck your brain fluids out there, Saucy.
It's okay, they're wearing mustaches and
there you go.
Top hats.
Just picture them all with mustaches, top hats, and monocles. You'd
there we
good.
Go right. Well, I probably forgot some things, but I'll just go ahead and say that has been my geeky sweet.
Cool.
Well, got into Mario Kart 8 a little bit. Actually,
nice.
Started doing
on your
the grand,
own.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
Without me
yeah.
going, hey, let's play.
Yeah, earning
yeah.
stars
nice.
And whatnot. It's a nice journey. Rewatched The Hobbit: The Desolation of Smaug.
Smaug
still holds up.
Hell yeah! Ooh, you know, just there's nothing like that moment where the gold starts to fall.
Right,
and
you
just
see
the eye, just the eye.
Yeah,
like, oh.
There's definitely some good moments there.
It's great. Went back and watched some really old John Wayne movies from, like, the 50s.
Yeah, you did. Because
yeah,
I caught you on, what, half of the Sons of Katie Elder?
Yep, yep. And then I watched the original True Grit. And the original is so much better than the remake. The remake was excellent. But the original is just fantastic.
Well, you can't go wrong with Glenn Campbell. I'm just saying.
No.
Oh, so then have you watched The Conqueror yet?
No.
Okay. At some point in time, you should wait for me, but The Conqueror, John Wayne as Genghis Khan, is really something
interesting
to be.
Interesting.
Kinda. It's sad, but yeah. It's sad in real life, but we won't talk about that now. I don't want to bring people down.
randomly watched 8 Mile on
It's a good damn
HBO.
Movie. That's a good damn
it's
movie.
Pretty excellent.
That's a pretty it's damn pretty good excellent. Movie.
I've seen that in a while, but yeah, it was good. Yeah,
own that shit. Love that movie. Hells yeah.
I remember the first time I watched it, I was really, really young and didn't understand a lot of the things.
Oh, what's a rapper?
No, we knew that part.
What's Salem's Lot? What's I don't know what else to say.
What's a Nubian?
Bitch, you almost made me laugh.
Found this movie on Netflix called The Trail, and the description was a widowed pioneer woman asked to survive a difficult winter on her own.
Oh, so they made an Oregon Trail movie? Crazy.
Sort of, kind of.
All right.
Except for it was god-awful, and I don't know why I finished it.
Because sometimes you keep hoping. Because occasionally you'll have that piece of crap movie that has like this one thing at the end that almost validates everything you've watched before.
Or you're too lazy to get up and change it, or you're just like, well, I might as well see how it ends.
I have the remote.
The remote was right there.
Like if the remote slipped between the cushions and you're just like, oh, I can't find it, I'm just going to watch this.
Well, it started in the fall, and then winter got here, and then it was like the middle part of winter where winter
it took you
really
a long time
bad.
To watch that movie.
And you never saw her like eat anything or like go find food or do anything with like
survival. Wow.
Okay.
It was terrible.
All right, not to compare these two films, but I kind of have to. Rambo First Blood Part 2. He's in that jungle
forever.
For days and never eats, sleeps or goes to the bathroom.
No, he doesn't.
So
need
that
to.
You know, there are certain things in movies that it's like it's a gimme. This happened.
Yeah, but it's a survival
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah.
That was like a bad guy movie. This is a surviving on your own movie.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we'll smack
we
him.
Never really see Mad Max eat.
No, we see him eat a can of dog food.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
I remember that. What are you pointing? Are you done?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That normally we go, and I'm done. So, more and more comics this time on a roll of Marvel comics. Catching up with some things they're doing. The Superior Foes of Spider-Man is an interesting little comic about the current iteration of the Sinister Six and jobs that they're pulling that don't involve Spider-Man just because they'd like to actually try to make a living. And the one guy that wants them to be a team and everybody else is trying to double-cross each other. So that's pretty fun. I didn't realize what was going on for the setup for Falcon to become Captain America in Captain America's comic because it's a comic book. Apparently, Steve Rogers got some faraway distant planet / dimension, and he's been gone for 12, 13 years, whatever. He's old now. The super soldier serum no longer working. He's an old guy now.
Huh.
So that's how they're doing that moving on. It was weird. It was weird. Watched the 70s classic roller coaster about a roller coaster of a guy trying to kill people. It's a bomber going around putting bombs on roller coasters. And the people that have to try
Not
to stop
cool.
it.
Was that before or after you guys went to Busch Gardens?
I totally forgot about in my geekiest week.
I know, that's why I'm going to talk about it. it's weird because I think it was the first movie that was like the sense around where they started getting your surround sound in theaters. You get all the rumbles and stuff. But it's always been an interesting movie to me because the last coaster, spoiler, where the good guys finally catch the bad guy, he's trying to blow up part of the track on the Rebel Yell. So,
okay.
So that's always fun. So yeah, Mario Kart, quite fun. Been playing more of Legend of Zelda The Wind Waker, you know, playing in bits and pieces there because it's a wonderful game and beautiful. Hyrule Warriors.
I was going to say, come on, let's hear about your new game.
The Dynasty Warriors in the Zelda universe is just crazy fun, cool. I don't know why it froze up on us last night in that one level.
I have no clue.
But video games do that now. It's just the kind of thing they do, which is kind of shitty. But a weird thing, you can play co-op on the Nintendo, and it's awesome because one player will use the gamepad in that screen, the other player gets the whole TV, so there's no split screen, but there's still co-op. However, there's co-op after you beat the first mission. It is a one-player game until you beat the first mission.
It's crazy.
And then you can make it a co-op
Very
game.
Confusing.
Because nothing in the instructions said that, and I ended up actually wiping out half of the progress I'd made. In the first stage, because I'm like, well, another character just came up. There's got to be some place. What about this mode? This was going to erase. Sure. Oh, no. So, yeah, beat the first stage, and then co-op becomes available to you. So, yeah, Saucy and I went to Busch Gardens. Somebody
sure
has never been.
Never,
that'd be
never.
You?
Yeah, I can't believe that.
And, you know, got a wonderful little Groupon discount off of it, and we are so much closer now than, obviously, than any place we've been, but I didn't realize it's just over an hour.
Less than an hour, you said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, right about an hour. Yeah,
right. It's an hour.
So which amusement parks had you been to before?
Disney World.
Okay.
And
King's Dominion.
King's Dominion. School trip. And Tweetsie Railroad.
What's a Tweetsie Railroad?
Tweetsie Railroad is a wonderful little educational, fantastic thing in North Carolina about the railroad that used to be there. You can pan for. I found gold there once. Yeah. This and they tried to do this at Busch Gardens, but it was crazy.
Mom, I want some gold. Why don't you care about gold?
There was this kid at the New France little part of Busch Gardens, and there's a thing of iron pyrite. And he's crying, wanting his mom to buy him the gold. And why don't you care about gold? I'm serious. It was,
wow. It was great.
It was insane.
Don't you know its market value just keeps increasing?
So Busch Gardens people, I have not been since, I don't believe I've been since the Big Bad Wolf closed.
Yeah.
Well, there's something in place of the Big Bad Wolf now. When it's
been there Vanderbilt. For a couple years. Verbolten.
Whatever the hell it's called, and I'm glad you know this since you haven't been, but you are an expert on this.
Well, I've been excited to go, and I didn't get to go this time, obviously, because just kind of as a side note, if anyone is listening out there who's like the executive of like an amusement park, if you're like super crazy pregnant, you should get to get in for a huge discount with some kind of obviously wristband, or you could just tell just by looking at me that I'm not going to try to get on any roller coasters,
right?
But I should still be allowed to get into the park without having to pay full price.
Nope, old since people who can't case, ride it have to pay full price. It's
that's not the case. I did not go to Busch Gardens.
You would have been miserable.
Yes.
Don't even kid yourself.
Yes, you really would have, and you know, wanted to crash in places. But the coaster that has taken the place of the Big Bad Wolf, I don't think it's better than, but it is a fun little ride, and I'm not going to tell you the coolest part of the ride.
But it's pretty sweet.
But because it's absolutely worth experiencing. It is something you've never experienced on another roller coaster ever.
It's the only coaster we rode twice.
Is it?
Yeah.
Huh. That's weird. I normally do more of them. Anyway, and haunted houses, some of those were cool. Some of those were okay.
Yeah.
It's weird. I don't know if it's, maybe it's just because if it gets closer to Halloween, because I remember that being, you know, a really excellent, crazy time. But like there was these one or two of them we went through, and there's like, we went through rooms and there's nobody trying to jump out and scare you.
Yeah.
Maybe they realize that I just don't really scare. Except, of course.
Maybe they think, like, if there's not somebody in every room, then you won't be prepared for when there is someone. I don't know.
Well, I'm always kind of prepared. Like, there's this one, I'm like, we walked through one of them. I don't remember which one it was, but there's, like, a picture frame, and I look at it, and I'm like, it looks like there's somebody there. And this dude pops out, what are you looking at? And I was like, well, I was looking at you, actually. Because I kind of saw you, so that didn't scare me. The one thing that made me jump more than anything is we're leaving, well, I don't want to tell you in case you go. Well, we're leaving one, and we're walking. We've come out of the exit. We can see the line that of people who are coming in. So we're done. We're finished. Except out of the corner of my eye, I see somebody leap at me. I mean leap in the air, hands out. I'm like, what the? And I look over, and there's this dude in like this rubber wire harness thing. And he leaps out at you, and it pulls him back. Yeah. It was clever. Awesome. He does this run and just leaps at you. It's awesome. I was like, that's pretty cool, dude.
It would have been a great job to put that together and get, like, the measurements right.
Right.
How many people did he take out just trying to figure out the length?
Well, he would have had to have been careful with it.
I'm pretty sure they did that first. I don't think they started smacking into people and then dialed it back. I don't think they wanted that many lawsuits. They probably were like had someone stand there and do some measurements.
Well, not actual people that pay to get into the park.
That's not
like,
what you said. Well, what people? Straw people?
Yeah, the straw people.
I don't know.
Straw people.
They have
crash test dummies.
They have scarecrows all over this park. Yeah. Straw people is not.
I saw some of those guys. I think they're all kind of crash dummies.
I can see that.
Well, because I remember this was the first park where I had seen where they had people sitting completely still, and you thought that they were part of the decorations, and then they would start to move. That was always cool. And then that one time that we went. There, somebody jumped out from the bushes in like a bushes
ghillie
costume.
Suit.
A bushes costume.
Ghillie scared
suit.
The crap out of me. Yeah. And this was this also the one where our friend Dave, it was either this one or King's Dominion.
King's Dominion.
It was King's Dominion. Where he said my name near the beginning of one of these haunted houses, like, Terry, don't be scared. And so then all of the bad guys in there are going, Terry, they're like saying my name. And I was like, stop. And I couldn't, and those things really do legitimately sort of scare the crap out of me. So,
okay.
One time I was going through a haunted house and I had my fingers hooked in the belt loops of the jeans of the girl in front of me and she took off running and I ripped the belt loops off of her jeans.
Her pants came off too. It was all no, kinds of crazy. Oh,
I think the biggest scare I got was actually not in any of the haunted houses. Okay. It's when we were walking through, it was either England or Germany, and the vampire guy just like jumps out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah, that dude.
And I turn around, I'm like, nice.
I think for me, it might have been the monster stomp on Ripper Row where Jack the Ripper starts singing Evanescence.
But that was the highlight?
No, I think it's the scariest
That's
part.
The scariest part.
That was, I was sitting there mouth agape going, oh my God, what am I watching?
From Alderaan to Krypton, from Castle Grayskull to the Gates of Mordor, from their lips to your basement, I mean to your underground lair, it's GRD News.
So we have an app, and you should go get that because that's a crazy fun thing, and it's going to keep you up to date on stuff. And if we ever decide what the deal is with the pub crawl, which I think I know what day it's supposed to be, but apparently we don't know, but we're going to tell you real soon. That information you'll find on the app, you'll find on Facebook, you'll find on Twitter, you'll find in the forums at geekradiodaily.com. You'll find it by listening to the show. Basically, if we know it, at some point in time, you'll find out about it. And I think that's the best way to explain how that works.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Indeed. We've got a piece of mail here. Ryan Reynolds was an awesome Green Lantern. I don't care what every other fracking person on the planet says. I was the one man that thoroughly enjoyed that movie. The episode of X-Files he's briefly in, however, is rubbish. And that's from Ryan. Ryan, yeah, you would have to be the only person. I'll say it before I say it again. There's 20 minutes. There are 20 good minutes in that Green Lantern
before
movie.
Before he gets the ring? No.
Well, no. You have to, because the stuff on Oa is pretty cool. The stuff on Oa looks pretty damn cool. I don't know why more of it's not on Oa. I don't know why he didn't have to go through something crazy huge away from Earth. I don't know. But an awesome Green Lantern? Dude, I don't know.
He's got that kind of quippy sort of like.
Sure, but that's not Hal Jordan. Yeah. He's playing Hal Jordan, but that's not Hal Jordan. It's just. He's as much Hal Jordan as the guy in the live-action JLA TV pilot is Kyle Rayner.
Yeah.
Or no, he was supposed to be Guy. As Guy Gardner. There it is. He's as much Hal as he is Guy.
I think it would have been hard, just about anybody. This movie was widely panned by the geek community. But you, as a particular Green Lantern fan, would have had a hard time with just about any movie.
Well, the animated one. The animated with the first flight that they did with Christopher Maloney doing the voice as an origin film was pretty good. The Emerald Knights one was freaking amazing. I mean, you can do it, but your villain can't be an amorphous blob cloud.
Yeah.
Your villain needs to be a villain. I mean, it started off strong. That opening scene and you see Parallax like that and I'm like, oh, this is going to be... No. There wasn't enough Green Lantern stuff. He made what? A Hot Wheels track? Okay. He made a Hot Wheels track. And again, and I'm sorry.
It was a full-size, larger-than-life Hot Wheels track.
It certainly was, and that made it pretty. And again, this is a big complaint I have, but I'm going to say it again. The opening of that movie hit me on a wrong note, too, when we meet Hal Jordan. He lost that plane. Hal Jordan would have landed that plane. He might have ruined the landing gear, the engine, and every damn thing else, but he would have landed that damn plane.
Yeah.
He would not have ejected from that plane. So I'm sorry. That's just me. But I'm glad you had a good time. If you have films that you love that you don't think anyone else does, you can tell us about them, too. Podcast. Billy Flynn, Flinstress, Saucy, all at geekradiodaily.com. You can also drop a voicemail if you'd like to do so.
510-GRD-CREW.
I'm sorry, that's what now?
510-GRD-CREW.
Going online.
Now, with a look at the many places you can go to get your geek on.
Are you sure this is a sci-fi convention? It's full of nerds.
It's the GRD Con Report.
Indeed it is. Going to take a look now of every place you can go to get your geek on in October.
There's not a whole lot going on this very first weekend of October, but
sure.
We do have ArchCon or Archon. I don't know how you pronounce that one, but it's in Collinsville, Illinois.
Oh, so the return of the Archons.
Yeah. We have Necronomicon.
Oh, I see what they did there.
Resurrecting the Dead in Tampa, Florida.
Well,
sure.
Yeah, some nights in Tampa, Florida, you can feel like you're dead, so sure.
And then in New Orleans that weekend, they have ContraFlow.
Contraflow?
Contraflow.
Not contraband?
Not contraband.
Because that'd be kind of cool.
Contraflow.
Okay.
Swiss Fantasy Show, Morgue, Switzerland, October 11th through the 12th. Arcana, St. Paul, Minnesota, October 17th through the 19th. Walker State Convention, Atlanta, Georgia, October 17th through the 19th. Crystal Coast Con, Cape Gatteret, North Carolina, October 18th. Fax Gent, Belgium, October 18th through the 19th.
And because we all have one like this, I have one for October 24th through 26th, because you had one for the second. Crazy. Epic Con Ohio Geek Fest.
Geek Fest.
Indeed. Then to wrap things up, Halloween through November 2nd, because Halloween's on a Friday this year, Conjuration in Atlanta, Georgia, Metacon in Minneapolis.
I have to think that Atlanta does Halloween pretty damn great.
You think? I might. Neon Galaxy in Las Vegas. Icon in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And HonorCon in Raleigh, North Carolina. So, you know, you got a few things to go for. If you know of a con that we've missed or something upcoming you'd like us to talk about, please do. We love telling people where to go. We'd love to tell you where to go. Just drop a note to podcast, Billy Flynn, Flynnstress, SaucyAllGeekRadioDaily.com. So, yeah, you hang in there a second. We'll be right back to talk all about Summer 2 Electric Boogaloo.
Okay, you know what it's like. You're flicking through Amazon or the local DVD shop when suddenly you discover a film that you haven't seen in years but which you remember as being legendary. The purchase is hastily made, you invite friends over, make popcorn and settle down to watch this classic. But then it becomes apparent that your mind has double-crossed you and that this film is frankly awful. Soon your friends have deserted you, your boss says he has to let you go, and even your dog won't come when you call. How did it go so wrong? Well, in the interests of public harmony, a new podcast, I Saw That Years Ago, sets out to watch the old films that your memory has convinced you are brilliant, but which in reality could be anything but. So join me, your host Martin Darkley, and my compatriot, Gentleman Joe, as we watch the old films so you don't have to. Find us at www.isawthatyearsago.com or on iTunes.
Hello, this is Master Shake, the ruler of your face. Whenever I don't listen to podcasts, I'm sure it would be Geek Radio Daily. I put the geek in geek.
Took a super obscure comic book and turned it into the biggest movie of the year, which means one thing: Marvel can't fail. Next summer, we're releasing Ant-Man. It's about a guy who talks to ants. What? Yeah. We don't even need comic books anymore. We made a superhero team by pointing at a bunch of random words in the dictionary. You're gonna fall in love with Marvel's Creatures of the Cosmos.
You're telling me the fate of the world is in the hands of a pastry chef, a Harlem Globetrotter, an alien real estate sign spinner, a dude dressed as Grimace, and an office chip. They're humanity's last hope.
Seems ridiculous.
I'm on board.
Indeed. Welcome back, GRD Sweepy, episode 236.
Yep.
And you might be. You know, Marvel can at this point pretty much do whatever they want to. And why would I play that? Well, because it's so weird. We know we generally every year we kick around, we look at fall movies, the stuff that is coming up, which is usually nothing but Oscar bait. It's just mostly Oscar bait. But when you start to look at this list, they are trying to form summer too. Because there's bigger things, there are things that normally fit in summer and around summer that are
Even say that the movie industry is getting away from your traditional seasons. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy was really early in the summer.
True.
So it's just kind of, not that, but like definitely Winter Soldier was super early.
Yes.
You see what I mean? So it's like they're different. They're maybe just not, they maybe don't care. They figure if they make a good enough movie,
why
people will go to the
Johnny
movies
care?
No matter when.
Okay, so what officially qualifies as the fall season? Is stuff released in September already part of the fall season? Or are we just going to say screw it and move on over to October?
Let's start with October.
Nice. So opening up October 1st, men, women, and children. Nope, that's not like a list of who gets seated first or last.
Evacuation
or whatever.
Protocols.
Whoa, what do you... But this is Adam Sandler's in this, Jennifer Garner's in this. It follows the story of a group of high school teenagers and their parents as they attempt to navigate the many ways the internet has changed their relationships, their communication, self-image, and their love lives. So, I don't know if that's supposed to be something wacky funny.
No, it's a drama.
It is a drama.
Yeah.
Well, that doesn't mean it's not going to be wacky funny. But, I mean, are they going to be pushing for an Oscar for this? I don't know. But that's it.
Huh.
Other than that, got
to
go to...
I miss Adam Sandler and, you know, Big Daddy was on the other day and I was like, yeah, that's Adam Sandler.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. That was one
of... Very grown-ups-esque. I feel like.
Really? Well, then no, I don't like it then. I don't like it at all.
We also, you know, October is a good month for horror, generally.
Sure.
And they're going to put it out kind of early before Halloween, but there's this Annabelle.
Annabelle.
That one with this creepy doll, and it's the prequel to something, right?
Apparently.
I'll be excited when that's gone.
The before The Conjuring, there was Annabelle. And I missed The Conjuring, and I did want to see that. But so I've got to catch up to that. But if she's in that, is the doll in that? I don't remember seeing this doll in anything before, you know, and it's certainly, you know, a
it's
sharp
creepy.
Image.
Yeah,
it's something
creepy.
That would stick out, you would think.
Well,
so.
And even before it starts to, okay, in the previews, it's not like it's a spoiler or anything, even before it starts to move and do sinister things, it just looks like something you wouldn't want to have in your house. No. It doesn't look cute at all. No. Chucky at least looked like a doll. You know, that you would give to a kid before he started going crazy.
Okay. I'll trust you on that. Also, that same weekend, you've got that Gone Girl where Ben Affleck is Scott Peterson, or is he?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. Well, the wife. See, here's how this is going to go. I've seen the commercials enough, and I'm sorry. This is just, I have no idea, but if you think this might be a spoiler, me guessing, you go for it. She faked her own death thing and set him up. That's what this is.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's,
I mean, it's
so...
based on a book, so it can't, you
oh,
know.
Is it?
Yeah,
I
so people somewhere should, you know, may have read it and may already know. But there's just definitely something going on.
There's something more to it. She's responsible for this. There's somebody, she's running off with someone or whatever and wants to get away, and this is the best way she can do it. And I don't know, there's a trust set up and she'll get the money. I don't know. She's responsible for this.
Yeah.
That's exactly what's going on here. Let's see what else you got here.
Drive Hard. Cusack movie.
The what movie?
It has Cusack in it.
Oh, John Cusack in
yeah.
it. Oh, now is this like a good John Cusack movie or one that he does so he can make good John Cusack movies?
It's a heist movie.
That could go either way. That could really go either way. So I'd like to, you know, I like John Cusack. I'd like to believe in him, but who knows?
Yeah. We've got a historical piece of something about Sudan in the 80s, The Good Lie. That's Reese Witherspoon. As the brunette. And this is the kind of thing.
Whoa,
like,
whoa, as a brunette.
As a brunette.
Wow, she
know,
is
right?
really stretching her acting chops.
Wow. But, you know, since it's got that dramatic, this I don't know if this was something that could be Oscar bait, but it's definitely got that kind of look to it.
Oh, it looks like it'd like to be. I just don't know if it's going to be. Left Behind gets another movie, this time with Nicolas Cage. So if you didn't watch it the first time with Kirk Cameron, watch it this time.
This is about the Rapture?
Yeah, this is the Left Behind series where, you know, all the people get, you know, all the good people are taken away and everyone else is left behind. Now, if you want to do that, just watch The Leftovers on HBO. That's a damn good thing.
Right.
Also, you know, you do have The Hero of Color City with Christina Ricci and Rosie Perez and Craig Ferguson and Arsenio
Coming
Hall
from a crayon box near you.
And Wayne Brady. Yeah, yeah. It's something for kids.
Is Wayne Brady going to have to choke a bitch?
Well, apparently, the adventures of a diverse band of crayons that come alive in a little boy's room when he drifts off to sleep. So,
interesting.
Yeah. Toys to crayon story. Why not? What is that one, A Good Marriage? I don't know what that one is. Let me look that one up real quick.
That one's A Woman Discovers Her Husband's Been Keeping an Especially Terrible Secret for Years. She stumbles about a box in a garage. It's a Stephen King novel.
That's right. Well, it's a Stephen King short story.
Right.
It's actually sort of based on the BTK killer guy because he was married and his wife didn't know.
Sweet.
That's what this is. That's right. I forgot that's what this
was.
It
might be pretty good.
It will. It's not going to be a big gory slasher flick thing. It's really more about, you know, it's a character study of her and learning all this crazy stuff. So then you move on to October 10th and the film that you're the most excited about, Saucy.
Dracula Untold.
Now, what,
super excited.
Why is that? What about this movie is calling to you?
I really enjoy Dracula movies. Always have. And I think they're going to do a really good job with this one.
Not just because Charles Dance is doing the narration?
No, not just because Charles.
Okay.
Well, you know, it's definitely got some cool special effects.
Sure.
And, you know, this sort of like maybe he was motivated to save his family and that's why he made this choice all along. I don't know. It could be an interesting. I mean, there's only so many new ways to tell the same story.
True. Well, it's untold. So they've never told this one. It's just not happening.
Right.
Addicted is also out. This is a woman who's got a, you know, she's married, she's happy, but is she? No, really she's not, and soon finds herself having just sex with random strange men.
Huh.
So it's an episode of Maury come to life. Come to life is a movie. Now, you know, I don't know if it's a foreign film, I want to say it is. Yeah, so yeah, I don't know. The Oscars might, you know, give it something because of that, because they let them get away with
stuff. The kids movie coming out that weekend is Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day.
Steve Carell is the
dad.
Yeah,
on a popular book.
It's a good book. I remember reading the book.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
not too long ago.
Really?
Not too long ago.
What, like last week?
Well...
You decided, screw this Game of Thrones, I'm going back to Alexander.
Maybe like 10 years ago.
Okay. No, that should be, you know, a good fun time for people. The Judge is coming out.
Here come the Judge.
Robert Downey Jr., his father, played by Robert Duvall, is a judge. Vincent D'Onofrio's in this. Billy Bob Thornton's in this. But Robert Downey Jr. is a big city lawyer, returns to his childhood home. His dad, the town judge, is suspected of murder. And, you know, drama. Drama ensues. It looks like the kind of role that Matthew McConaughey normally would take.
Right? Robert Offord.
Probably. I wouldn't doubt that at all. Kill the Messenger comes out as well. This stars Jeremy Renner and nobody else that I recognize. Roseanne DeWitt, whatever. Jeremy Renner is a real-life dedicated reporter for the San Jose Mercury News in the 90s, uncovers the CIA's role in importing cocaine into California that was sold to raise money for the Nicaraguan Contras. Because that's our government. We've been doing shit like that since we existed.
Yeah.
So right. I don't want to hear that it's new or anything. It's since it existed.
Most of the other stuff is just kind of small release.
Yeah, right. No, not a lot. So moving on then to the 17th.
Yeah.
Anything fun, anything leap out at you immediately?
Other than Fury.
Yeah, Brad Pitt's at war. Without his mustache, without his Inglorious Bastards. I don't know. So this one, if I get this right, this is based on a true story, and it's the, you know, moving, inspirational story of a tank that gets disabled, so they stay in the tank on a bridge.
Yeah.
To defend it.
Yeah.
I can't help but think that should have been easy for the other people to kill them.
Titanic syndrome.
I don't know. I mean, I guess we'll just have to watch it and see.
Your heart will go on. My shells
go down the ship.
Is that what? But it doesn't go anywhere. That's the whole thing.
Right. Eventually the bridge might collapse.
Possibly. The Book of Life. Weird looking little fun, crazy little animated strange thing.
Take your medicine before going to this one. Party the young man, people.
Young man has got to face his greatest fears and follow his heart in order to rewrite his destiny. Danny Trejo's a voice. Zoe Saldana's a voice. Ron Perlman, Christine Applegate, Channing Tatum. So tons of people in this. It's for the kids, but it might actually turn out to be something a little more special.
Yeah, I haven't seen a whole lot of press for this, though. So, you know, normally there'll be a lot more build up to it. Maybe it's coming soon.
Hopefully. Something that, you know, I guess that I'm just desperately looking forward to is Dear White People. Because with a title like that, it follows a group of African-American students as they navigate campus life and racial politics at a predominantly white college. So right away, that's because fish out of water stories always work.
The subtitle for this is Shit White People Say.
I could see that. Chloe Moretz going to be in The Tale of Princess Kaigua. Mary Steenburgen's in this. Lucy Liu, tons of people. She's found inside a bamboo. A tiny girl grows into a young lady raised by an old bamboo cutter and his wife, and they go to the capital city. I don't even know. It just sounds like an absolute snooze fest to me, but Chloe Moretz is an interesting actress. So maybe?
What about the following weekend? I'm going to go ahead and jump to Ouija? October 24th. Yeah.
The best Ouija movie ever made was called Witchboard, and it came out in the late 80s. Nothing's ever surpassed it. Nothing's ever going to. But this time, a group of friends attempt to make contact with a recently deceased classmate through a Ouija board, and dark and terrifying presence shows up.
Dun, dun, dun. There's nobody even really in this movie. This is just Halloween bait.
Sure, but, you know, so Ouija, and that's the board, so did they get the permission?
They must have. I mean, that's a trademark copyright name.
So again, I've often wondered about this. Sure, you get to play up your supernatural aspect because I'm sure that helps sell the board. But would you actively endorse a movie in which people use your product and get killed because of it?
I don't think so. Yeah, there's definitely some
Strikes me just a little odd is what I'm saying on that one. So also out that weekend, you have something called John Wick with Keanu Reeves.
I've started to see some commercials for this one.
I have too. Ex-hitman comes out of retirement to track down gangsters that took everything from him.
Dun, dun, dun.
So Keanu Reeves is the Punisher?
He's a long-haired, sword and gun-wielding badass.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I don't know.
If you're into that kind of thing, then you'll like it.
It looks like it's going to make
Willem Dafoe is in the movie.
It looks like it's going to make an interesting double feature if you put it right after Ghost Dog Way of the Samurai.
I can see that. Maybe even Ronin, throw that in the mix, or 47 Ronin, or whatever he did.
One he did, where he keeps trying to, sure. I don't see why not. Anything else that weekend look interesting to you? What?
Reach Me.
What
it
is
has
Reach
Nelly
Me?
And Sylvester Stallone in it.
It sounds like a dynamite combination.
What? Right? It's about a journalist, an editor, an ex-con, and a gunfighter cop.
A gunfighter cop?
Yeah.
Okay. This sounds like something that would have been direct to DVD, but Sylvester Stallone has some star potential again right now because of the Expendables movies?
Something
there's
like
not
that.
Even a poster available on the site. That it's coming out the 24th, right. And there's no poster.
They haven't finalized it yet.
Oh my god!
Well, there's probably you go on Twitter and get to vote or something. So the weekend after that, not as
you would think that there'd be just like every scary movie.
I would think so, but the weekend of the 31st?
The 31st.
Yeah, we are at the 31st. We're on Halloween now. Nightcrawler. Jake Gyllenhaal plays a worm. No. He's a young man desperate for work who discovers the high-speed world of L.A. crime journalism. So, yeah, he crawls the night with Rene Russo and Bill Paxton and people. And I don't even know what this is supposed to be about. But, yeah, it's sensationalizing the news. It's that kind of thing. Getting news for ratings. And he's supposed to be like some big instrumental person as part of that. Okay. Haven't heard anything about that one either.
Huh. And then we also have a 50 First Dates But Not Funny is Before I Go to Sleep. So it's Nicole Kidman, Colin Firth, Mark Strong, and it's the story of Nicole Kidman who wakes up every day with no memory as the result of a tragic accident in her past. Terrifying new truths emerge to make her question everything she thinks she knows about her life. Dun, dun, dun.
Or I could just go watch Memento again?
Right. Something.
Okay. Guys, you've got to come up with another an angle for this because, we've seen that one. ABCs of Death 2, Electric Boogaloo, is about the only, Halloween thing that's actually going to be out on Halloween.
And horns.
It's a Nigeria to UK to Brazil sort of production, so it's very weird. It's directed by over 24 of the world's leading talents in contemporary genre film.
They gave each director a letter. Kind of interesting.
26 individual chapters, each helmed by a different director assigned a letter of the alphabet. Directors were given free rein to choose a world to create their story in involving death. So this will be like Faces
of
Death.
There's going to be a couple of them
different.
That are probably good and the rest are...
Just like the VHS movies. There'll be a few, and that's about it. So, Hit by Lightning. I don't know. What is that one? That's the... That's this guy who gets hit by lightning. Yeah, and meets the love of his life because of it. Isn't
romance,
that
romance, crime, comedy, sure. Yeah.
And
no
that
reasons.
Doesn't sound like a Lifetime movie at all. No. So then moving on to November, Big Hero 6, that first weekend of November.
Yeah, that's the one with it's Disney, and it's that like oversized blow up doll giant thing.
Right.
And computer animated superhero set in San Francisco. So it's like Tokyo, San Francisco. It's got some Japanese elements to it. I think the kids are going to be into this one. I think they're going to really like this one, and it's going to be, the big merchandising thing. Who knows? Maybe not, but it could be, a good pre-Christmas watch.
And then Interstellar has an interstellar voyage to the furthest reaches of of scientific understanding. It's a film about taking this voyage. So that alone, I don't need to know anything else about it.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, but he's not the star, which means he's got to be in it for just a small amount of time, which means he's going to be great and it's going to be a decent movie. Yeah. Because the less he's in it, the better.
Right.
The movie is.
Well, they've also got this Jezebel.
Is it Jezebel or Jezebel?
Jezebel. Who knows how you say it?
Normally,
but it's a scary movie.
Yeah, I can
and
tell.
It's coming out after Halloween.
Yes, like a lot of people's Halloween parties are and Halloween specials, folks.
You have the whole month of October and half of November to celebrate Halloween.
Sure. Well, if we can start putting up Christmas decorations in July. What is it? Jezebel is recuperating from a bad car wreck and comes face to face with a tormented spirit seeking return. Dun, dun, dun. Dun, dun.
This reminds me of the one with Jessica Alba where people were crawling out of her eyeballs.
The eye?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or the one with Sarah Jessica Parker and the person, not Sarah Jessica Parker.
Not going to tell you.
Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Yes.
And it was in the back of her head. Like it when people come out of other people.
No.
Also coming out that week. Yeah, I know. I was going to let that one go.
It's going to be a creepy, weird experience.
It's going to be an alien. Also coming out that weekend is Merry Friggin' Christmas.
Oh, so excited.
Joel McHale, Lauren Graham, one of the last films of Robin Williams.
Last four?
Yeah.
One of the last four, and most of those are happening. So dude realized he left all of his son's gifts at home, takes the road trip with his dad and his younger brother to go back and pick up all the presents and come back so Christmas can be saved. Merry Friggin' Christmas.
Well, that could be fun.
It could be. It's going to be one of those where it's going to be okay or it's going to be a lot better than anyone ever saw coming. There's going to be no middle ground on that whatsoever. Let's see. What else we have? Rosewater. Yeah, a reporter accused of being a spy and imprisoned by the Iranian government shortly after a Daily Show correspondent interviews him in Iraq in 2008.
Wow.
It's based on that.
Because with a bunch of random people.
Tons and tons of random people, but that's the kind of thing that, Oscar people love. Oscar people will probably really love Theory of Everything. This is the movie about the young Stephen Hawking, meeting his wife, and it's a wonderful little it's a love story.
We like a biopic.
Yeah, the relationship leads him through personal and scientific challenges and breakthroughs as the world opens up, and he opens up the entire world to new ways of seeing.
Like a robot,
but not like that. But not like that too.
So like, sit on my face.
So the weekend after that, the only thing anybody's probably going to go see is Dumb and Dumber 2. Oh, that's T.O., yes. not T.O.
I do love that it's T.O., but it looks horrible. I will not watch any of that.
I'm going to be one of the few people that say the first one I think is a little overrated. I didn't think it was that fantastic. There were two moments in that I love, the snowball fight and the toilet. And both of those do not involve Jim Carrey. Both of those do not involve Jim Carrey. My favorite parts of the movie do not have him in it.
Well... The movie poster, they're in the frickin' dog van.
That's okay, man.
Okay.
It's going to be all right.
Whatever.
It's going to be legit.
If you also...
It's going to be a real sequel.
Need something to take a date to. That's the best of me. That's the Nicholas Sparks.
Oh, yeah.
You know, cry fest movie. I shouldn't really talk. I haven't seen any of those movies. I don't know if they're any good, but it looks like haven't it's that read, exact same formula.
You haven't read any of the books?
No. Mm-mm.
Oh, figured you had. Kirk Cameron's in another one of these. Hey, everybody. I'm a religious person now in Saving Christmas that, you know, basically shows you the biblical roots of Christmas, which I'm not going to tear that apart now. That's for another show. I'm going to tell you about Mark Ruffalo and Foxcatcher. Steve Carell's in this. Channing Tatum's in this. Anthony Michael Hall.
You sounded super excited about this.
It's Olympic gold medal winning wrestler Mark Schultz, who sees a way out of the shadows of the more celebrated wrestling brother. And life of poverty, he gets the multimillionaire dude interested in him, disproving mother. It's one of those just weird kind of real, based in reality type of stories that people will relate to a lot. And you'll get to see Channing Tatum as a wrestler. So
sure.
Sure. So anything else for that? No?
Nope.
Cool.
Katie Holmes is playing Miss Meadows in Miss Meadows.
Who the hell's Miss Meadows?
She is a sweet and proper elementary school teacher whose perfect manners and pretty floral dresses hide a dark secret.
Giggity.
Okay, so the weekend after that, Extraterrestrial comes out. No, this is not a sequel to E.T. It's not a remake of E.T., but this woman whose parents are getting divorced goes back to the vacation cabin she spent when she was kids, going down memory lane, and aliens! Dun dun dun. College friends soon find themselves caught in the middle of something bigger and more terrifying than anything they could ever imagine. And this again is pushed to after Halloween, which makes me wonder, do they not believe in it?
Well, you know, and this is definitely the weekend where people go, they're sick of their family, they want to watch something after Thanksgiving. So even though, you know, November 21st is a little bit before Thanksgiving, Hunger Games, Mockingjay, that's definitely coming out this weekend. And I think it's going to be...
Mockingjay Part 1?
Yeah, Mockingjay Part 1. I think it's going to be good. You know, historically, they always take these young adult books and split them up at the end, but it is too much story for one...
I think the first one sounded like too much story for one movie.
Yeah. So I'm looking forward to it very much. I've liked the adaptations. I do think it serves you to have read the books so that you can sort of fill in the blanks with your mind. You shouldn't have to do that.
No.
And I know, but I'm saying, you know, read the books and then you might enjoy this even more. I am very much looking forward to it.
Cool. Homework before the movie.
Another VHS movie coming out.
It is. And like the other ones, there'll be two in there that I really love, one or two that are okay, and then the rest I'm like, I mean, I like the concept of this. I really, really do, but yeah. Well, I guess just low-budget horror movie still getting made. I should be happy. The Imitation Game. Benedict Cumberbatch playing Alan Turing, who's created with cracking the German Enigma code.
Oh.
So if any... Right. So
you had most of our listeners that Benedict Cumberbatch.
I certainly did, but... you know, he plays, you know, a genius, but, you know, a tortured genius kind of thing. So, yeah, I think that there might be some push for this because what else have you seen really that's pushing for Oscar bait thus far? A couple, but not a lot.
No, not
you know what
much.
Definitely is? The next weekend, Penguins of Madagascar.
Right. So excited. I love the Penguins of Madagascar. I love them.
So I don't think I've actually even ever seen any of the Madagascar movies.
Look Melody is going to love the Penguins of Madagascar.
Look at the animation studio that made them, dude. Every studio that made them makes really, really bad movies.
I don't care.
All the way around.
I don't care.
Okay. Well, Horrible Bosses 2 is coming out at Thanksgiving. Which seems odd to me. This is what I was talking about with, like, you know, there's horror here, there's not quite action, but some bigger thing. And here's, like, some of these weird comedies, like Horrible Bosses 2,
It's an odd release time. Who knows?
I think
they just say people are going to go and see it or they're not going to go see it. You've got a lot of the returning cast. They decided to start their own business.
Chris Pine's in it this time, is like the son of the guy who owns whatever business. So Chris Pine's going to be your target this time. You get a cop who's going to be investigating stuff this time as well. But what are you going to do? Paradise Lost with Benicio Del Toro has a young surfer visiting his brother in Colombia and falling madly in love with a beautiful local girl. And their romance is going to go well until, oh, her uncle is a cocaine trafficker.
What's that
Not
story?
Just any cocaine trafficker, Pablo friggin' Escobar.
I was going to save that. I was going to save that till the end there, but...
it's not a spoiler.
So then December, anything exciting you're looking forward to in that very first weekend? What about The Pyramid? You want to watch The Pyramid? I know you do. The Pyramid is, of course, not based on the dollar bill and the symbol that's on it. It's a team of U.S. archaeologists that find an ancient pyramid buried deep beneath the Egyptian desert. And, of course, they look through it. They get lost in the catacombs. They keep trying to find their way out. But turns out they're not just trapped. They're being hunted.
Dun, dun, dun.
So, again.
Top 5 is also out that weekend. I don't know. It doesn't look any good. But Rosario Dawson is in that. So, I know you like her.
Is it a rated R film? Because if it's not a rated R film and she's in it... can still probably find something else. I'm just
not yet rated.
Aww. Wild also comes out that week with Reese Witherspoon. Apparently, wow. She has like a little breakdown.
Is she blonde in this one? Or
She is.
Okay,
and it's rated R.
Back to her
it's
roots.
Rated R.
Sorry. Pioneer is out with Wes Bentley, Stephen Lang, and people that I don't even know. But it's set in the early '80s, beginning of the Norwegian oil boom. And, you know, trying to get like a pipe going crazy. A sudden tragic accident changes stuff and human drama.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Well, I think that's it for that particular weekend.
Sure.
But I've got the next weekend coming out, Exodus, God and Kings.
With Christian Bale.
Yeah. You know, it's hard to go wrong with Christian Bale, Sigourney Weaver, John Turturro, a bunch of other people are in this. It's going to be visual effects in 3D immersion, definitely, for sure.
Sure.
Egyptian Pharaoh, 600,000 Slaves. It's going to be an interesting one, I think.
What is that other one? Inherent Vice is out that weekend. Joaquin Phoenix, Josh Brolin, and wait for it, Reese Witherspoon. I'm telling you, she is just back with a vengeance. Owen Wilson, Martin Short.
Fall TV movies, the season of Reese.
A pothead private eye wanders through the summer and winter of love in 1969 Los Angeles. That's the character played by Joaquin Phoenix.
Alrighty then.
So I don't, that's all they, that's the only description that it has. That's the I just read you the entire description. So there you go.
Probably the only thing that I'm like burning to see in the theater.
Burning?
is The Hobbit. The Battle of Five Armies, the wrap-up of our Hobbit trilogy. It's going to be awesome. I need to start working on a babysitter now. We're going to go see it at midnight. Spencer, how stoked are you for The Hobbit?
Right?
The Hobbit is going to be just fantastic. It's going to wrap up. And then hopefully this final piece will fall into place and everyone will be like, oh, that's why there were 3 movies.
I don't care. I've said it once and I'll say it a million times. I would watch 10 movies. And yeah, get over the fact that it's long. It's gorgeous. It's wonderful. It's story. It's The Hobbit.
Okay.
I was hoping they would do 2 parts, though. Just to get a little more.
They've already turned what was originally like a short story that could have been done in a 45-minute movie into 3. I'm okay with that.
By the time you get to the end of the first Hobbit film, you've reached like 40 minutes into the animated version, so it's a little crazy. Mr. Turner out the weekend of December 19th with people that I don't recognize, but he's a British eccentric painter, J.M.W. Turner, who lived like in the 1700s. So it's going to be one of those. He's profoundly affected by the death of his father, loved by a housekeeper, and just paints and has to work through his tortured soul.
Oh,
I understand him.
Also that week, we have Annie, Black Annie.
Blanny? I don't think.
Blanny? No, I don't think we're getting away with that one.
What if
we've got a precocious, young, talented actress tap dancing with Jamie Foxx.
But what if someone went around calling you White Stormy? You mean there's a Black Stormy?
There's a Black Stormy?
I don't know about this at all. I really don't. The Gambler is going to be out with Mark Wahlberg. And I don't know if this is a Mark Wahlberg or a Marky Mark film, but it's a remake of the 1974 flick in which... you have an English professor inspiring his students, but suffers from a secret gambling addiction. Dun, 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 dun. Calls him to extort money and all kinds of stuff. So they're just trying to save their teacher. They're just trying to save him. That's all. Nothing else that we can. So.
No, we have the Night of the Museum.
Night of the Museum, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was going to save it for you.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I kept on trying to break in.
Do it. Try. I dare you. Go ahead.
Ben Stiller.
See if you can make it happen. See if you can break in here. Go ahead. Do it.
You shall die. Ben Stiller and Robin Williams are back in this movie. Night at the Museum.
Secret of the Tomb.
Yeah.
Whose tomb? I don't know.
Quest to save the magic before it is gone forever.
Really?
So Robin Williams' magic is gone forever. I'm going to weep tears of sadness.
December 25th. That's when all of your crazy, crazy movies are coming. Because what says Christmas? What says Oscar bait more than Hot Tub Time Machine 2?
Hot Tub Time Machine 2.
Answering all the questions left open by the first Hot Tub Time Machine. Everybody but John Cusack back in the film?
Yeah.
John Cusack's like, nope, got my check.
Nope,
got my
I'm
check
done.
Last time. I'm, no, over and done with. So that's probably going to be good, dumb fun, but no way I'm going Christmas Day to see that movie. There's just no way.
Nope.
They're remaking Into the Woods.
How do you
and
feel
I'm
about this?
I'm slightly excited about it.
Okay.
As long as the wolf is still anatomically correct.
Wow.
I want to see some
It was a big deal.
Okay, yeah, yeah, I can see
Wolfman's
that.
Wolfman's got nards.
Wolfman's got nards.
But,
Anna
Johnny
Kendrick
Depp.
is in the movie, yep. Mm-hmm. Johnny Depp is the wolf.
Meryl Streep is a witch, and Emily Blunt is the baker's wife.
And Chris Pine is Cinderella's prince. I love that. He's labeled as Cinderella's prince, and I'm like, it's the wolf. Wait, I missed something, because Cinderella wolves, so weirdness. Big Eyes will also be out that weekend. 1950s,
yeah, this one looks a little creepy.
1950s, dude becomes a national celebrity by making prints of big-eyed kids and marketing them cheap in hardware stores and gas stations across the country. He claimed to be the artist, but turns out, nope, it was really his wife. So it's creepy because of the big eyes, but I don't know. It's weird. You got some interesting people, though. Christoph Waltz, Amy Adams, Kristen Ritter, Jason Schwartzman, Terrence Stamp. So it's from the Weinstein, so I'm sure they're going for an Oscar, but I don't know. I don't know why you were trying to do that one. Paddington. Gets a movie finally.
I loved Paddington Bear.
Mr. Humphreys loved Paddington Bear as well, so he's going to be incredibly happy about that. American Singer. No, American Sniper. Wow, I cannot read today, man. Crazy.
Maybe it's a singing sniper.
Maybe. The singing sniper who shot people while singing from 1999 to 2009, he recorded the highest number of sniper kills.
Oh, that sniper.
That sniper. Yeah, so he liked to sing show tunes as he shot people.
I don't think so.
No, not at all. Seth Rogen, James Franco team back up for The Interview. It's an action comedy. Yeah, action. There's a TV show, Skylark Tonight. They discover a North Korean dictator, Kim Jong-un, is a fan of the show.
Right.
They land an interview with him in an attempt to legitimize themselves as journalists. And, of course, this is the one that was going to lead to war.
Yeah.
If they made the movie,
They made the movie. And, you know, we haven't seen Kim Jong-un in some time now. It's been a while since we've actually seen him. Selma comes out that same day, and this is absolutely trolling for an Oscar. It's the story of Dr. Martin Luther King's historic struggle against the Dangerous, Terrifying campaign that with the march from Selma to Montgomery. So that's why it's called Selma. It's what led up to that in the first place.
Not Patty and Selma.
No, not Patty. Wow. No, not at all. And then I guess it wraps it up pretty much the weekend after that. You just have two movies, A Most Violent Year and what is it?
Leviathan.
Leviathan. Now, what the hell is a Leviathan? Because I know a Leviathan. But a Leviathan seems to be something completely different to me. It's a small fishing town, and a guy owns an auto repair shop right next to the river, and someone shows up, the town's corrupt mayor wants to take away his business's house and all kinds of stuff, so he's fighting for it. I just want my kids! I got to take care of these kids! Most Violent Year is a thriller set in New York during 81, one of the most violent years in the city's history. It follows the lives of an immigrant and his family trying to expand their business and capitalize on opportunities as rampant violence, decay, and corruption. So it's if you set it modern day in Detroit. That's what this story basically is. So, that's kind of your fall season.
There's going to be a couple of good ones here and there.
Certainly, certainly. You know, they're going to dump a bunch of stuff in January, February, March, because there's not a lot of stuff. And then next thing you know, we'll be doing a summer show again. That's kind of how that works.
Well, you know, we love movies.
We do. And we might actually get to see them sometimes, provided you come babysit for us. So please, make that happen. GRD is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States 3.0 license. Make sure you come check us out on Facebook, Twitter, at the forums at geekradiodaily.com. Drop an email to podcast Billy Flynn, Flinster, Saucy at geekradiodaily.com. Or send a voicemail to
510-GRD-CREW.
That's to where now?
510-GRD-CREW.
And we are absolutely going to see you in a suite. Because I'm putting the S in that suite, because Lord knows what's going on. Lord knows.
What do you think?
It stinks.
Well, I thought every part of it was good, but overall I hated it.
I feel exactly the opposite, but the same.
Well, it's big and terrible. More frightening than I ever